to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation. I'm here with Tristan Vick. How's it going, Tristan?
It's going well, my man. Going well. Ready for Friday.
Yes. And then Saturday, which would be the final leg of the Houston, or the Texas Derby, the El Capitan. You tired from last night?
I'm not too tired. No, I think I fell asleep right as final whistle was blown. So I timed my drowsiness, my sleepiness perfectly so that after the final whistle was blown, that's the last thing I remember before I went to bed.
Nice. Yeah, I was starting to get a little sleepy, so I hit the DVR, and sure enough, I nodded off right around halftime. Woke up, and there'd been two goals scored while I was asleep a little bit, so good thing I hit the DVR.
Well, yeah, it was an exciting match.
Yeah, pretty back and forth. Tristan, overall thoughts on the match?
Like I just said, I thought it was exciting. However, I felt like for FC Dallas fans, we knew this would be a tough match midweek after a run of a lot of tough matches, close matches, competitive matches, and a match that meant we weren't going to be at a, I wouldn't say that we weren't at full strength overall as a team, but our defense was definitely shuffled this week in terms of putting in Figueroa and not having Guerrero sitting in front of the back four. I felt like offensively, we created a lot of decent chances. I felt like defensively, we were pretty poor. There's a lot of room for improvement, but I think it's tough to know how much of this was due to the fact that we were playing all the way on the West Coast and the Bay Area and had a midweek. It's a midweek game. We've got a competitive game against Houston coming up, so it's tough to know, but I think they'll feel like they dropped 2 points on this one.
Three points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no. Sorry. I feel like they'll drop to 1 point. I don't know that we could have said we needed a win.
That's fair.
Sorry. I'm playing the draw was okay card.
Yeah. It was one of those things where it was really exciting to see the offense kick into gear, see Mascaro get into the game, get some good minutes, and be probably our best offensive player. But, you know, after the game, Oscar kind of said it best. He said, we've got to find balance. I think what we kind of traded, we kind of leaned towards the offensive side and kind of got caught off our mark on the defensive side because we were kind of pushing, you know, and you got to find that balance. It's true. I think, and I said this on social media, that's at Dallas Soccer Show, that, you know, a lot of people came down real hard on Figueroa and Hedges and kind of the back line. But, you know, I think, yes, they had a bad game. For me, watching back through the highlights and watching the plays, watching all pretty much all of San Jose's opportunities, every single one of them was allowed because there was no pressure on them as they entered into our zone. I guess it's a hockey term. Entered into our half and into our final third. And they were just given way too much time around the top of the box. And that comes down to not having a good pairing between and a good relationship between Hayes and Ulloa. They just weren't, like, you could tell they weren't on the same page on who was covering who, when to push, when to press. And so, you know, I getting Guerrero back on Saturday will be a definite good thing. He can cover a lot of mistakes by the back line just by never making them happen because, you know, he puts pressure and stops the ball. But I feel like I'm going on and on here. But, you know, Guerrero, you forget what he means to this team until he's not there. And then you can kind of see it.
Yeah, he covers up some mistakes. But I think what he does that was noticeable, I mean, two of the goals, the third goal was just spectacular. There's nothing they could do about that top left corner. Beautiful look. He had been trying that all match and he finally connected and got a great goal off of that. I can't remember number seven's name, but
Eriksson.
Yep. He was, that was a great strike. But the other goals were just sloppy defensive mistakes that were on ricochets where instead of keeping yourself between the ball and the defender, and the attacking player from San Jose, we kind of just tried to play the ball as much as we could. And that meant that when we had these odd deflections, we weren't able to really do anything about it because the ball would just fall to the feet of the San Jose defender. And then Jimmy Maurer's got this entire net to defend. And that's a clear sign that either we weren't mentally prepared for this match or there's something lacking with the communication and the holding midfielders. And so for sure. I was disappointed with the back line. Reggie had a good assist, but also was a little bit. Is that stadium a turf? It looked like the stadium. Carter Baum was tweeting pictures out about how crappy the stadium looked yesterday afternoon. And I got to say, I'm not blaming the stadium, but I think it was a contributing factor to some of the poor performances in terms of positioning, footing, maybe thinking, I'll be okay if I don't go 100% here because I can track back or whatever. And then as they start to, they realize, I don't have good footing. And that split second is all it takes for them not to have the inside edge, perhaps.
I think that was definitely a factor. You saw Reggie slip several times. You saw Hedges slip.
I saw them practicing on Twitter or whatever a couple of days ago. I feel like they should have known that. And I don't know if they practice on a field like that or not, but, because they looked kind of amateurish at times. So, that's not what you want to see.
Somebody out there want to put some of those defensive plays to those vaudeville calamity tunes.
Oh, the Yakety Sax.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
I love Yakety Sax. Yeah, it's tough, though, because you really were expecting us when we started clicking offensively. I remember thinking after they went ahead 4-3, I remember thinking like, I'm definitely not going to sleep. I was up because I was like, we're going to get some more goals. And then they brought in Arangues and like, I was just ready for that to happen. And then in the 80, and then they put in Coleman and I realized, it's the 82nd minute. Like there is no more time left for us. Like this is tough. And when I knew we went to Coleman, that's when I knew we were going to lose because it's Coleman's not what you go to when you think go ahead goals and dynamic and attacking play. You want someone that when you bring them on, the defense of the other side is going to say, oh, no. And right. Christian Coleman doesn't do that. So that's why I knew then that it was lost cause.
Go ahead and start prepping that bedtime.
However, I did like Santi. I thought Santi played really well. I thought Pablo looked really good. But again, I think I mentioned this after his first match, when he's on the ball, he is so small that he's not quite able to impact the match in the same way if he's not given space. And so when he came on, he had to work really hard to get space. And that meant that his creativeness, his ability to slice open back lines was very limited. And that's not something that will happen in every match, but it's definitely something to look for going forward, that if he starts against Houston, whether he'll be as effective. I mean, he played well against Houston recently, but whether he'll be as effective after seeing this match and how they kind of shut him down by just being more attacking and pressing, I'll be interested to know or see how Houston lines up against that.
For sure. One last thing of note for the San Jose game before we move on to some other topics. the Argentinian archer got back on the score sheet. So that's good. Maxi Rudy getting an assist or two and a goal. I'd have to look back at the stats, but yeah, he was on the score sheet at the end of the night. So that's good news for his confidence.
Yeah, no, that was, he was right place, right time. Finally, the poacher, second striker role comes through with getting on a great rebound or a great opportunity like that. So happy for that. Baji had a great goal, very calm, good finish. Mm-hmm. He definitely did not Aubameyang that, which happened quite a bit this weekend if you watched the Arsenal match where we had a wide open goal and he skies it over the net. I think that was against Chelsea. But
did it become Aubameyang?
No, because Baji scored, but Aubameyang.
But if he did, it would. Anyways.
Yeah. No, no. I think Baji's great. I think he was working really hard. I like the work rate. I want to see more of that. I want to see more of the front four. I mean, Tesho. Ugh. But everybody else played really well in terms of the front three. I wouldn't even recognize it as a four.
For sure. All right, let's go ahead and move on. There was another news. We have a rather unexpected signing, mid-season signing. We got Abel Aguilar, and he is a member of the Colombian national squad, played in the World Cup, 33-year-old. So what do you make of that signing, Tristan?
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of them, but what I have seen from what I've read is pretty impressive. I'm going to give Tim Vickery a call tomorrow night on the World Football Phone-In to see what he can tell us about him. I'm not sure if John Arnold's going to be on there or not, but
I think he's going to be on later in September is what I saw him say on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure, but he will definitely, I think he'll be, it's never bad to have somebody who just played in the World Cup on your team, especially for a side like Colombia. I think he'll be an interesting addition because he's got a pretty much more physical in terms of his height than our other holding midfielders. Corey Hayes, pretty short guy. Carrizo is physical but short. And Ulloa is not known for winning aerial battles or being necessarily the most physical player. So I'll be interested to see where he slots in. I'm looking forward to it. I trust Oscar and Fernando Clavio, the scouting directors or technical directors' judgment on this one, but I think it shows that we're in it to win it. Yep. And that's an ambitious move right there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, how he came out on the salary scales and all that stuff and what it actually took to get him signed. So I'm sure that'll come out later. I'm sure someone's got a spreadsheet or something. So.
Well, one of the nice things about South America football right now is that it's kind of a joke. And so you're able to really, entice some players by explaining how consistent the league is in terms of your opportunity.
And the MLS, you actually get paid every week.
You get paid. You won't be attacked by fans. You'll barely be recognized in some cities, as we found out, or as I found out when I went to Costco last week and saw Roland Lamar there just hanging out, and nobody even knew who he was. But I think that's a good.
Please tell me, fanboy that like went up and offered to push his card.
No, but that's the type of benefit you can offer from an MLS perspective. A lot of players, especially for the older players, it's probably nice to have that type of comfort. So,
for sure.
Let's hope he sticks around for a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, speaking of older players, we have a little bit of sad news, I guess you could say, in the MLS USA soccer front. Clint Dempsey has retired.
Yeah.
How'd that make you feel, Tristan?
I think it's fine. From what I understand from Sounders fans, he was kind of past it for a couple years anyways. I think he was, it's kind of interesting that the, that the biggest thing that I thought of whenever I think of Dempsey is, and this just goes to how I define it, but Dempsey's one of those guys that was on the team that played in Trinidad and Tobago, was on the side that didn't make it out of qualifying. That shows kind of how I'll always look at him. But that team itself, what I'm trying to say is that team itself was one that needed Dempsey. And so that United States squad, and Dempsey has scored so many other big goals, big moments for us as a country that I don't want to define him by that. But that being said, you kind of have to look at that and say, what other player coming up in the United States pipeline would have been better suited to take Dempsey's role in that match, right? So Dempsey got subbed on at halftime against Trinidad. Dempsey's retired. That Trinidad match was less than a year. It was on October 10th of last year. And now Dempsey's retired. So Tim Howard's probably not far behind him. He was a starting keeper. Like that showed. So
yep.
Dempsey's career was by far the best career any Americans had really abroad. I'm sure somebody's going to say, well, that one guy won something or another, but people forget the type of run he had with Fulham. He took Fulham to a UEFA Cup final. He was by far the best player to ever play in England or best American to ever play abroad in England, and was respected amongst everybody in that league and never put up the most gaudy statistics, but there was a time when you had Dempsey and Brian McBride at Fulham all at the same time. And it was pretty cool to have. It was Full America was what we called it because it was the Americans. And so everybody knew Fulham. So, and it was great in New England. But my favorite thing about Dempsey is he is the true Texas story of hard work is there's no substitute for it when it comes to players in soccer and never really giving up. He's got a great story you should go out and read about how he came from quite the sporting family, but just basically never had the chance to play at top tier club teams. And so finally he was able to. And a lot of people like to ask US soccer, where's the next Dempsey coming from? And US soccer likes to say that they've created a system that's going to prevent those types of situations from happening again, where a player has to drive 4 hours to play against, get good coaching as a youth. So I hope he enjoys his time away from the game and then does what other players should be doing. And that's getting back in, getting coaching going. I don't see Dempsey doing the whole broadcast thing. No. He does not have a TV face. He has a very pissed off face, so I think he'd make a great coach.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, love him, hate him. He's definitely got a good story and will go down as one of the all-time greats for America. So with all that having been said, we are looking forward to Saturday's match against Houston. It is, I think we need a win more than just to get a cannon. We need a win to kind of get our season back on set track. I thought the Minnesota win would have done that, but I was wrong. So hopefully.
No, yeah, I think you're right. We're behind. Sporting has a game in hand, so they're 1 point behind us. So right now, technically, we need to get a hand up on that. So keep winning is probably the best way to do that.
That's right. All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend. Stay safe. Enjoy the long weekend. And we will see you back on the mics in your earphones probably Wednesday of next weekish is the hope and the dream. So catch us online. Tristan, what's your Twitter?
At Tristan Vic.
And I am at underscore D underscore Naish, N-A-I-S-H, if you want to find each one of us. And then also we've got... Our website, if you want to go there too, DallasSoccerShow.com. And yeah, take it easy, everybody.
All right, see you guys.